In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 6, 1029. 1904. And it's interesting. 1029 is the date, that, the cause of Louisa, ended in Trani. And, the Archbishop, we were out there celebrating the investigation of Louisa and the final conclusion that Louisa should be canonized. And that's what the Archbishop said. He didn't say beatified. He said she should be canonized. You know, it was really, a wonderful time. The whole town was there. Everyone was celebrating Louisa la Santa, Louisa the Saint. And that's the date. That's a very important date for the divine will, 1029. So Jesus says, my designs are accomplished only in one who attaches his works to perseverance. So this perseverance is essential for all of us. We have to persevere. Prayer, fasting, penance, conversion. We have to persevere in good times and in bad, in sickness and health, until death do we part. You know, it's to, be able to endure, difficulties and not lose hope. And, one of the things that helps today, I don't like promoting books, but this book, Murder in the 33rd Degree by, Charles Murr. If you want to know what's happening in the church, this is, gives you a good understanding. It's a very good understanding of Bishop Gagnon, and he was a friend of Father Murr, and he explains what has happened. It really is understandable why we're going through what we're going through, but we have to go through what we're going through. This is part of the purification that Jesus tells Louisa. So perseverance is essential. Prayer, like for example, you know, we'll get into it a little bit later, but as you pray, you know, the sacred scriptures, as you pray the breviary, as you pray, learning how to pray the rounds, what happens at this point is everything in your life begins to becomes more focused on Jesus and Jesus alone. So perseverance, Jesus says, is seal of eternal life and development of divine life. So this continuing of prayer, this continuation of prayer, each year, it helps us to get closer and closer to divine life. So everything in the church points to the divine will. Everything in the church points to sanctification. And we have to understand that this sanctification is offered to us in a way that it wasn't offered to the saints. That might sound strange at first, because we read the lives of the saints every day, basically, and how magnificent they were. How, I mean, the way what they went through, I don't think any of us could really have gone through what they went through. They were so focused on God. And just think of the North American martyrs. Father Isaac Jogues had his fingers, two fingers chewed off. Because he would hold the host at Holy Mass, after the consecration, his fingers would always be together. And the natives, basically, said, this is magic and we were going to destroy this. And even though he had his fingers chewed off when he went back to France and went back to, Europe, he got permission to come back. And as soon as he came back, I mean, here, a young man coming back to give the faith to the natives. And as soon as he walked through the tent, when he got there, as soon as he walked, he was murdered. He was killed. What we see, you know, often with the saints is their love. And we're going to read a little bit about that today. What God is expecting of his priests. Perseverance is the seal of eternal life. So constant prayer, prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, you know, and development of divine life. So this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary is what the saints wanted. And because they didn't have Louisa at that time, they knew how to embrace a virtue or two. Like when we look at Saint Maximilian Kolbe, our lady gave him the crown of martyrdom and the crown of purity. It wasn't the total crown. It wasn't as the crown that our lady had. I mean, there's no way, because what the saints were taught is how to do the will of God. But what Jesus taught Louisa is how to live in the will of God, which is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And God wants us to enter into this abundant life. Volume 19:6-19:26. Since my will, my divine will, wants to establish its kingdom in the midst of peoples through you, Louisa. Now, this is, again, going back to who is this Louisa? I, God, want to deposit this celestial doctrine in my priests. Through you, Louisa, you will give this to the priests. Again, that's one of the things that's so essential. A lot of people just don't understand it because of the times that we're living in. But this role of feeding the people with the first bread, which is the bread of the divine will, it's the priest's job. It's the shepherd's job. And unfortunately today, since there are so few priests, many people are teaching. Somebody called me today and we talked a little bit about what some lay people are saying about the divine will. And it's not accurate. It's just not accurate, because when a priest gives a homily, a bishop gives a homily, a deacon gives a homily during Holy Mass, God works powerfully in those words that the cleric preaches. This is the ontological change that happens. And when a layperson gets in the pulpit to give a homily, it's not a homily. There's no spiritual influence like the way of a priest or a bishop or a deacon. And the sad part is people are satisfied because, as Jesus says, I'm going to change the priesthood. I'm going to make the priesthood what I have planned of it from the beginning. And everyone will come back to the church. Like we mentioned, I think before, there are 1 billion Catholics, yet there are almost 8 billion people. That's not good. Jesus died on the cross. He shed every drop of his blood, and it's a seventh, not even a seventh of the people. It's a small number. One seventh eighth or something like that. It's God wants 100%. And so what the priesthood is going to do, especially with this gift of the divine will, is everyone will come back to the church. Everyone. There will be one church. There will be one flock. There will be one shepherd. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, this fire of the Holy Spirit that's going to come down, is given to us, word by word, if you want to say, through Jesus himself. Remember, Jesus said, or scripture says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will remind you of everything that I have said. He will remind you of everything that I've said. This is what I see in the book of heaven. So since my will wants to establish its kingdom in the midst of people through you, Louisa, I, God, want to deposit the celestial doctrine in my priests. So the first ones who are going to consume this book is the laity. It's not the laity. It's the priests. It's the priests are going to breathe this in. And he says, why? They will become my new apostles. So that first I may form with them, the priests, the link of connection with my divine will. So our job is to say to the priests, you know, here's the, hours of the Passion. Here's the Virgin Mary in the kingdom. Here's the book of heaven. Father, can you help me with this? And, try to form a prayer group, and there will be ones that'll say no at first. But be persistent. Just, say to the, to the, you know, in confession, you know, really the thing that's changing my life is this great divine will. And I can see what Jesus says here. And, you know, you can get into conversations, maybe not in the confessional. It's that I was always taught to be blunt, be brief, be gone, the three B's. But when you talk to your priest, you can say, Father, this is really important to me. And, you know, I mean, once the priests do this, this is what Jesus says. These are the words of Jesus. I want through you, Louisa, I want to deposit this celestial doctrine in my priests. Through you, through the book of heaven, what I've dictated to you. And these new priests will be my new apostles so that I may, as he says, before the laity, I may form with these priests the link of my connection with my divine will, and then they will transmit it into the midst of the peoples, feeding the flocks. Every priest, every bishop, every deacon will be proclaiming the sanctification. This is the time we're in. Because of everything, this is the time that we're in, and God has planned that at this time, things are going to change. And we see it. I mean, we hear very clearly of all the, you know, threats of war, third world war. We hear of food shortages. We hear of all sorts of things that are close. Electricity being not here, oil, gas not being here. It's nothing to be afraid of. God is going to take care of his children. He always does that. But it's going to be difficult. We're going to have to go through difficulties. So as Jesus says this, and again, one more time, I want to deposit in you, Louisa, this celestial doctrine so that you can put it in the priests as my new apostles. And Louisa said to Jesus, she said, I don't see any priests, which I hear a lot. What does Jesus say? He says to Louisa, he says, even if I only have 12, I will use those 12 as I use the first 12 apostles to brought the kingdom of redemption to humanity, to now bring the kingdom of sanctification to humanity. And Louisa would say, she would just say, but I don't see anybody. Nobody at that time was listening to Louisa at all. And Jesus basically again said, even if there's only 12, I'm going to do this. Then he says this, but there will be an army of priests. God is going to do this. There's nothing to worry about. So the next part is they're going to transmit this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies to the peoples, to the laity. For this, the priest will dedicate his own life to his brothers. Okay, this dedication, this priesthood, as a living as a sign of supernatural charity, in obedience and celibate chastity, with simplicity, with respect for discipline in the communion of the Holy Church. So this is going to be a sign, Jesus says, of supernatural charity, the priesthood. So charity, volume 4, this is what Jesus says in 7:23-19:01. This is true charity, to destroy oneself in order to give life to others. So it's not to kill yourself. It's to, like, for example, some of the best priests that I know were really good in sports. They were really good at what they did, and they gave that up. And their whole focus was the church. They gave up a lucrative life. They gave it up for what? For to be a servant in the church. And what is a priest supposed to do? He's supposed to bring the sacraments and sacramentals to the children. And that's again, the Roman ritual. This is so amazing. If you want to get a wonderful book for a priest, if he doesn't have it, get this Roman ritual. And it's filled with all the blessings that, and when you first get into the blessings, they're so amazing. God wants everything blessed. See, the evil one, there's curses and hex and spells and everything. I remember Father Carapi once said, many times, he said that the evil one puts curses on the drugs, and the people are cursed. There's a hex. There's a spell. The fastest growing religion in the United States is Satanism, witchcraft. Especially what's coming up, in the next few weeks, there should be more prayer, to get through this occult time where the evil, wants to take over and destroy the good. So what Jesus says is true charity is to destroy oneself in order to give life to others. So if what's your desires, what do you want? What are you into? That's all gone. Because what happens at this point is the complete surrender, docility, submission to the Lord. And each soul becomes important. What the Lord shows is to give his life to others is that's what true charity, destroy one's own love of self and to give your life to others. So Holy Mass, confession, the sacraments and sacramentals, making sure everyone has what they need in these times where we have to depend on the sacraments and sacramentals. To take upon oneself the evils of others. What does that mean? The sickness, the those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, those that are sick and disordered, those that are away from God. You go to them to take upon yourself the evils of others and to give Jesus one's own goods. And so here, this helping of souls, is what we want to do. That's what the priest has to do. It's his life. When someone is in need, you're there. And again, it might not be physically, but you're there with prayer. You're there with, remembering them at Holy Mass, remembering them in your prayers. So this is what God is looking for. He's really looking for this love and in the breviary, like tomorrow, this is good. This is holy. This is saintly, but it's pointing to the divine will. The divine will is everything. The divine will is to live the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary through this little newborn. So here, listen to what St. Columban says. He's going to say this tomorrow in the second reading. How I wish he would awaken me, his humble servant, from the sleep of slothfulness. And even though I am of little worth, how I wish I would enkindle in me that fire of divine love. This is the divine will. The flames of his love burn beyond the stars, and longing for this overwhelming delights and the divine fire ever burning within me. This prayer of the divine will is, Jesus says to Louisa, is love, light, and life. It's the fire. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming has to be in the hearts of the priests. How I wish I might deserve to have my lantern always burning at night in the temple of my Lord. See, our heart has to become the throne of Jesus. That's what Jesus says to Louisa. To give light to all who enter the house of my God. Give me, I pray you, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son and my God, that love that does not fail, so that my lantern burning within me and giving light to others may be always lighted and never extinguished. Jesus, our most loving Savior, be pleased to light our lanterns so that they may burn forever in your temple, receiving eternal light from you, the eternal light to lighten our darkness and to ward off from us the darkness of the world. So like we've said before, you're in the divine will, the final prayer is, Lord, I want nothing of the world anymore. I want nothing of the world. I only want that of heaven. And what's the world? The world is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. What is heaven? It's peace, joy, and happiness. This is what God is asking of us. He's asking the priest, most especially, to give up everything except him. Give your light to my lantern, I beg you, my Jesus, so that by its light I may see that the Holy of Holies, which receives you as the eternal priest, entering among the columns of your great temple. May I ever see you, you only, look on you, long for you. May I gaze with love on you alone and have my lantern shining and burning always in your presence. So this is doing the will of God. But God says, now I want you to enter into this, to live in the will of God. Loving Savior, be pleased to show yourself to us who knock, so that in knowing that we may love only you, love you alone, desire you alone, contemplate only you day and night, and always think of you, inspire us in the depth of that love that is fitting for you to receive as God. So may your love pervade our whole being, possess us completely, and fill all our senses, that we may know no other love but love for you, who are everlasting. May our love be so great. See, now in the divine will, it's Jesus' love and my loving. It's not me. It's not my love. My love is fickle. My love is nothing. But the love of God reigning in me back to God is how Adam lived, how Jesus lived. And Jesus now wants to give this to us. May our love be so great that like many waters of the sky, land and sea connect, extinguish it in us. May water, many waters could not extinguish love. May this saying be fulfilled in us also, at least in part by your gift, Jesus, our Lord, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So in the church, I mean, we have this desire. I mean, you see here this great desire of St. Columbian. And what God is asking of us is to enter into this life. But more than what the saints had, to enter into the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So what God is now giving us, he's given us this way. So in obedience, do you want to know what obedience is? Obedience is the quintessence of love. Obedience is the finest, the most purest, the most perfect. Listen to this. It's the finest, the purest, the most perfect love, extracted from the most painful sacrifice to destroy oneself in order to live again in God. No more self-love. No more self-centeredness. No more selfishness. Being most noble and divine, obedience tolerates nothing human in the soul. Now think about that. What we pray in our morning prayer, especially the prevening act, is like the last thing is, Lord, I want nothing more of earth, nothing to do with earth. I'm here working, but my heart, my mind, my soul is heaven. No more negativity. See, what has to die is all the worry, all the fear, all the anxiety, all the complaints, all the negativity, all the doubts, all the sin. And that's why he says, obedience tolerates nothing human in the soul. It's got to be divine. As St. Peter says in his epistle, we are called to be divinized. As the priest says every day a holy mass, by putting the drop of the water in the chalice, may we share in divinity. So this desire that God is breathing into the priesthood, we really has to begin to embrace it. Nothing which does not belong the obedience tolerates nothing human in the soul and nothing which does not belong to the divine will. It's got to be all of the divine will. This is not a devotion where you pray and you get it done and you don't have to pray it for the next morning. No, this is of the life of Jesus. This is the life of Mary. Therefore, all its attention is on destroying within the soul everything that does not belong to its divine nobility. Okay, what is that? Jesus says that is love of self. That has to go. We are called to this divine nobility. Now, Jesus says to Louisa quite often, I want to clothe you in divinity. I want to see, and that's why the scapular is essential for us, because Our Lady says it's the clothing of heaven. And with this clothing of heaven, it's to say to Our Lady, to our Lord, I want to be robed in glory again. I want what you breathed into Adam, this divine nobility. I want the true divine nobility of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. I don't want just a virtue or two. I want to enter into this true life of Jesus and Mary. And Jesus says, when I find the souls who are longing for this more than anything, I will give it to the world. What does that mean? It means he hasn't found it in anybody yet. He's looking, are we dying to our ego, dying to ourself, so that the kingdom of God is established in us? Remember, God, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you, on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. So it says very clearly, all its attention is on destroying within the soul everything that does not belong to its divine nobility. And what is that? What doesn't belong to the divine nobility? Love of self. Now, scripture says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But why do we love ourselves? Is because we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We belong to Jesus. He shed every drop of blood for us. And he bought us. We don't belong to ourselves. Why do we love ourselves? Because Jesus is there. Why do we love our neighbor? It's because Jesus is there. And that's what is. So he says, and once it has done this, that's where getting destroying everything within the soul that does not belong to the divine nobility. It cares very little about whether it alone struggles and toils on behalf of the soul while allowing the soul to rest peacefully. So we're going to go through some difficult times. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be painful, but it's nothing to be worried about. Jesus has called us to go through what we're going to go through. And the great thing about all of this is our Lord will give us this peace to go through what we have to go through. So each and every one of us are going to have to die more to our ego and our will. Finally, Jesus says, I myself am obedience. I am obedience. So what this, again, to enter into this life, this true life of Jesus and Mary, Jesus is obedience. In the MMP book, Our Lady speaks to the priests, her beloved sons, in 169. The second sign is lack of discipline. Beloved sons, when I appeal to you to become littler, and we have to remember, what did Padre Bucci say all the time? He says, to live in the divine will, you have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. I appeal to you, Our Lady says, to become littler in my arms. It is to make you like my child, Jesus, though through docile and perfect obedience to what? To the divine will. So what is this obedience to? As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, as Jesus teaches us every day, as Jesus gives us lessons every day, what's so wonderful is to surrender to the Lord. And basically, as Jesus has taught Louisa, he's looking for docility, surrender, submission to him. And as he teaches, as he leads, as he guides, as he directs, everything changes for us. Everything changes for us. Everything becomes clearer, recognizing that what is coming upon the earth, this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, this fulfillment of the Our Father, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. When that happens, when that great day happens, and Jesus says it's close, the evil one will be gone. See, he's been banished from heaven. He can't be on earth. When the kingdom of God is on earth as it is in heaven, the evil one is gone. And what does that mean? No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has planned for this sanctification that's coming. That's why when you first read the book of heaven, you're so excited reading, because it's you just know as you read that everything's going to change. This new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied is very close. And our Lord is asking us, do you want to do this for me? Think about it. He said to Louisa a couple of days ago in the calendar, he said, I have written your life on the page in the book of heaven, the book of life. I've written your life of what I expect, what I have planned for my children in this book of life. And he says to us, I want you to begin to live this, what I have planned from the beginning. And then what does he say? He says, you were conceived with me when I was conceived in the womb of my mother. I mean, think of this. He says, I have planned that you, he says, I have planned for the soul, these souls who must live in my divine will. So what is he doing? Everything is planned. Everything is ready. And God is saying, would you cooperate? Would you cooperate with me? And if we say yes, he goes, good. I'll show you how and why as much as you want or as little as you want. So the how and the why is in the book of heaven as you read. Every day as you, like today's readings were, I don't have them here. They're over there. But they're so, what he says today in today's readings, it just fills you with joy. It just fills you with happiness. So he says, Our Lady says, I appeal to you to become littler. If you think you're important, God can't use you. If you're filled with yourself, God says, you've got what you want. But if we live in littleness, surrendering to God, genuflecting to God, kneeling before God, spending time with our Eucharistic Lord. What did Louisa do? She spent 2 hours preparing for Holy Mass, then the hour of Holy Mass, and then the 2 hours of adoring God in ecstasy after receiving Holy Communion. How do we, attend Holy Mass? Are we there just 5 minutes before? Or are we there preparing our heart, or preparing our soul, preparing to receive God, Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist? You know, are we afterwards, when the Eucharist is with us, are we leading the people to recognize that these 15 minutes are the greatest 15 minutes of the whole day, adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God and worshiping God, entering into this communion with God. I mean, it's everything changes for us. It's not a personal relationship with Jesus. It's more than that. It's intimacy with God. It's falling in love with God. And that's what God is waiting for. Everything's going to go crazy. Everything. And what we need is recognize that being alone with God is essential. Loving God, you have to fall in love with God. With this nuclear thing, a million people could be gone in a second. And again, what our job as priests is to pray for everyone, pray to the Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for peace among nations, pray. And when we pray in the divine will with a command prayer, it's powerful. There's nothing that gets in the way. So the Lord is looking at us and he's saying, what are you doing? I mean, he says it right here. He says, Louis, are you going to Louisa? Are you going to receive the celestial doctrine? Are you becoming Jesus's new apostles? He says, are you breathing in this divine will so that you can feed the people? Remember what Louisa says in the three appeals. She says to the priests, you feed the people a hard and stale bread that's hard to digest. She says, read the book of heaven. And as you read the Book of Heaven, you will hear things that you've never heard before. You will begin to understand truths that you've never even thought of. Why? Because he says Jesus is doing this. So he's and then you can feed the people, feed the sheep, lead the sheep, protect the sheep. Our Lady wants us to become littler in her arms. I want to make you like my child Jesus in her arms, docile, perfect obedience to the most holy divine will. That's what Our Lady is going to teach us. That's why the Virgin Mary in the kingdom is so beautiful. When you read the prodigies of Our Lady, there's nothing that compares to that. It's just our Jesus himself is teaching us who Our Lady is. And what God is trying to get through to us is the next time you read it, it's even more spectacular. The next time you read it, it's even more. It's not, you just don't read it once and, oh, I know it. No. The Book of Heaven, it's Jesus says, I keep on expanding your capacity to live this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. What is that? The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. It's not about good and holy and saintly. That's volume 1 through volume 10. God wants that. But then what he wants now is to fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can live in the divine will. That's never been done before. And then after that, it's to enter into the divine inheritance of the Father, to go back to where Adam was, breathing in the Spirit of God, this Ruah of God. It's astonishing what God is doing. Okay, Pope Benedict the 16th. In fact, Christ himself, the eternal priest, lived his mission even to the sacrifice of the cross in the state of virginity, constitutes the sure point of reference for understanding the meaning of the tradition of the Latin Church for the priesthood. It is not sufficient to understand priestly celibacy in purely functional terms. Celibacy, listen to this. Celibacy is really a special way of conforming oneself to Christ's own way of life. This choice has first and foremost a nuptial meaning. It is a profound identification with the heart of Christ, the bridegroom, who gives his life for his bride. And again, that's what a husband does. He gives his life for his bride. So his bride lives. And the bride of the priest is the church, and not a building, but it's the people in the pews. He is to breathe on them as he breathes on the Eucharist at consecration. The priest is to breathe on his people, like the patriarchs of old who breathed on their children, the blessings. It's the blessings are of, and again, when people leave Mass before the final blessing, they miss the blessing of Jesus through the priest. It's Jesus that's blessing through the priest. It's this gift. And if you want to help a priest, if the lay people want to help a priest, always ask the priest for his blessing. Always. It's to receive Jesus's blessing is essential. That's one of the things nobody else can do. A deacon can't give the blessing. The priest, the bishop could give a blessing. And this is essential for, it helps the priest understand his role as father, his role as pastor, his role as shepherd. When he preaches, he breathes on the people. He breathes that as we heard earlier, that spirit, that love of God on humanity. And that humanity becomes alive. I mean, that's the homily. The homily, the souls in the pew become alive. It's that's why we pray for the priests, especially before a homily. Lord, let me hear what you want to tell me through the priest today. You know, speak to my heart through the priest today. It's not just talking. It's to bring to life the children, because the world, like I said, there's curses and hexes and spells are all over the place. And, the blessings from the priesthood are powerful. I've mentioned it before. Some of the people I've seen, I saw a priest touch a person, and that person who was possessed, became human. And I looked and I was a young priest at the time, and I went, nobody taught me about this, you know, and the priesthood is powerful, but Jesus says, I'm going to make it so powerful. This is what he says to Louisa in the last chapter of I'm 24. He hints at it, that everyone will become Catholic. And he says this, in the last chapter, he says, the Jews, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants, he says, the Jews in all nations will become Catholic. Why? Because this is what Adam had. This universal life is what was breathed into Adam. And see, when that was gone for 4,000 years, the faithful, the Jews prayed for the Messiah, begged for the Messiah. And then what comes? Mary and Jesus. Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And what happens at that point? They bring back the universal life, the Catholic life. And so this is so wonderful what our God is doing. Don't be discouraged. You know, don't be discouraged about, you know, what we're going to have to go through. Recognize that God is with us. God is with us. Don't be afraid. Remember that you were born for this time. God predestined you to be born at this time, to live at this time. He says to Louisa, you were conceived with him in the incarnation. He says you were born with him. You suffered with him. You died with him. And he says very clearly that you basically are the ones who must live in the divine will. And I remember every day at Holy Mass, at the consecration, I pray for the souls who must live in the divine will. It's not about being saintly and good and holy. It's not about a devotional life. And this whole gift is to enter into this divine life of Jesus and Mary. So Jesus says, it is a profound identification with the heart of Christ, the bridegroom who gives his life for his bride. What we have to understand is this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul prophesied about at the canonization of St. Annibal de Francia is ours. And as much as you want or as little as you want. And as we enter into this infinite ocean of love, which is the divine will, as we enter into it, it's this, God is going to take care of it. He's going to take care of it. Like we just read earlier, it's not about us. We're nobodies. We're nothings. It's all about him. Our focus has to be on the Lord, our Savior, our King, our Master. He's our God. There's nothing to be afraid of. And if you're afraid, Jesus says, basically, you're not focused. Jesus says this, that what we're going to go through, he is going through. And our job in the divine will is, number one, to say to the Lord, thank you for showing this to me. Number two, I'm sorry it's happening to you, Lord. They're crucifying you again, Lord. And three, I want to repair this. Not only this, but everything, past, present, and future. See, that's what Jesus did. That's what Mary did on Calvary. And God is offering this to us to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. You're going to see some really interesting things coming. But don't be upset. It's just part of what we have to go through. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, especially that all the little children, the holy divine will be divinely healed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.